In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, please be seated. Well, glad to see you all on this snowy morning as our February snowpocalypse has kept a few away. You know, now it's all of your responsibility to laugh twice as hard as at my jokes. Just like that, thank you. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? You can hear the prophet Isaiah's enthusiasm in this passage. He continues on and he says, "It is God who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers." Just the majesty and awe of God oozes out of this passage. You know, as we go around our daily lives, I would imagine many of us, myself included, we don't really think a lot about God's power and might, at least not always on our mind. We might understand this idea intellectually, but sometimes we get so wrapped up in our own stuff, we lose sight of the most plain and obvious thing about God's greatness. The Bible is full of stories of healing, and today we had the story of the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, or Peter's mother-in-law. And I often, when I read this story, I get a little distracted by something, because as soon as she gets better, and literally in the same sentence, when her fever goes away, she gets up and she serves them. "I'm glad you're better, Mom. Can you go get me a cup of coffee now?" Well, we miss something about this. It's not just, I mean, it does seem a little funny to us, especially in our context, but we miss a couple things about that bit. First of all, this is a testimony to Middle Eastern hospitality. You would never let anybody enter your home without serving them, and I'm sure, as much as it seems like an odd place in our 21st century culture, and it seems a bit misogynistic, you have to keep in mind, too, that this was what everybody expected to do when someone enters your home. And that's part of that culture. But also, I think it speaks to another part about how well she actually became. I mean, it wasn't just that she was getting over something. She was so much better, she could just go back to life as she normally knew it. But then, of course, word gets out. And people start to bring to Jesus all others who need healing, either sickness or demons. And then there's another kind of healing that we see after this. And that's Jesus' own healing, taking what we might call today a mental health break. It's allowing him to continue himself to rest before continuing his work and going on to the rest of the region. The healing is such an important part. It's a big theme in Scripture. And it's probably, especially as you can imagine, before, say, 200 years ago, when there was any sense of modern medicine, illness was pretty grim. Illness would be a life-altering or a sign of death. Now, one miracle that has always existed, of course, is God's gift to our bodies, that ability to heal itself. But to be healed by someone else is not something that people ever saw. It's a rarity. In fact, it is such a rarity that it gets recorded all over the Bible because it's not that common. It's not like people in the Bible times were walking around getting healed by this person and that. They never saw it. And so when they did, it became a sign of hope. And readers of these passages have for centuries seen these stories not as a commonality, but they've seen these stories as a sign that God can make the impossible possible. And it is another testimony to God's greatness. But then this brings up the difficulty of these stories, because healing in this sense is such a rarity that one can read this, and even today we look around, we don't usually see this kind of healing happening commonly. So we might read this story and say, okay, well, that was the Bible. That was Jesus' time, and he was exceptional. But there were stories long before Jesus of the prophets healing, and there were stories after Jesus of the apostles and the saints healing as well. And so then we look at this story and then we go, okay, so now what? And I think for those of us today, this can become a point of great frustration. Especially, I mean, who here has ever prayed for someone to be healed? I mean, I think almost everyone. I see nods and hands going up. And if anyone has ever prayed for someone to be healed, there's great frustration when that happens and they continue to decline. And this can be disheartening. It becomes a challenge to the very core of our faith. Because we might start to ask questions, well, why can't God heal this person that I love? Am I not praying right? Am I not faithful enough? And we start to lose hope. Because if we think this way, then this idea of healing can become a stumbling block. Now, I personally do believe that God can, and God does, perform miracles today, every day. Now, sometimes miracles don't happen in the way we imagine. I mean, of course, we always pray for something we want. I'm sure there'll be a number of people praying for one team or the other to be winning tonight. Of course, what do you do when both sides are praying? I don't know quite how that works. But when it comes to things like healing and miracles, the challenge is that at a certain point, we have to face our mortality, and not just our mortality, but everyone's mortality. You think about this, probably one of these single most important and powerful stories of healing in the entirety of Scripture is the raising of Lazarus. Not only was he healed, but he was raised from the dead. But you know something about Lazarus? Eventually, he died. I imagine that at his death, his sisters Mary and Martha and other loved ones around him prayed for him to get better. But God still called him home. In fact, so did Simon Peter's mother-in-law. Eventually, she got sick again and she died. It was her time. And in fact, every single person that was healed in Capernaum, that came to that door, they also, at some point, it was their time. This is the human condition. The human condition is, I would bet, that all of us at some point have experienced a miracle of some kind or another. Maybe we didn't notice it. Maybe it is something that we've prayed for and it's happened, or something that has happened that seems too good to be a coincidence, or maybe something that has defeated all the odds of reality has happened in our lives. I bet it has happened to everybody. Miracles continue to happen, and if we think about it and we're open to it, we can recognize where those miracles have happened. But miracles are not going to fix everything. They're not always going to happen as we want them to. So how do we see God's power today? If Jesus' time, when these great events happened a long time ago, and we don't always recognize when miracles happen to us today, how do we recognize God's power? Where do we see it? Well, for one, we still pray for one another. In the prayers of the people, every Sunday, in fact, every time we gather, we pray for those who are sick or have other needs. We continue this act of prayer. In the church, we also have a tradition of sacramental healing, which we do here at this church twice a month. And in like the gospel lesson, people are given power and gift of healing. We pray for wholeness. We pray for wholeness in all kinds of ways. Wholeness in body, like Peter's mother-in-law. We pray for wholeness in spirit, like those whose demons were cast out. We pray for wholeness in mind, like Jesus going off into the wilderness to take time alone. Now, of course, sacramental healing is not a guaranteed cure. I mean, can you imagine if it was? We would, just like those people at Capernaum, we would have people clamoring at our doors. Perhaps maybe for the wrong reasons. But like prayer, sacramental healing, or any way that healing happens, is a way that we can open ourselves up to God's grace. And one way or another, these are ways that we connect with one another and with the divine and hope for mercy. This is a beautiful legacy that Jesus and the apostles left with us. Because it reminds us that miracles can happen. Now, maybe they won't always happen, at least not the way we expect. But God is really good at surprising us. And we have to remember, like the prophet Isaiah reminds us, that we are small, like the grasshoppers of the field. We don't always understand God's ways or grasp the fullness of God's goodness. But our faith tells us that God is good and great. Our faith tells us that God is the source of all power and might. Our faith tells us that God does mysterious and wonderful things. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? Amen.